Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Flats and Shanks weekly podcast. I'm Tom Shanklin.
I'm David Flatman. How are you, Tommy boy?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. I'm off to Hong Kong tomorrow, so what?
Oh, stop it. Are you really?
Cannot be good about that, yes.
I didn't know about that. Why am I not part of this? Like, why am I not party to your logistics? I thought we were tight.
You work weekends, mate. Just for a little TV channel called Channel 5.
What?
You're signed to them, whatever.
What? Contracted? Yeah. So you go to Hong Kong.
Essentially, essentially a bit like a school teacher on weekends, though, aren't you? You know?
Yeah.
Everyone's got a mate as a school teacher. I got one called Pi, Sean James, right? But he can't do anything we want to do because he's tied into the system.
Yeah, he's in the system. He's a slave to it, and he's basically coaching the under-14 C's netball team instead of going out with lads.
Yeah, exactly. All rounders. Or rugby. So
you're going to the sevens, right?
Just quickly on Pi, right? He's a PE teacher, but he's the worst sportsman all-rounder that I know.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, doesn't mean you're not great at coaching it, but, you know, just like things like frisbee. He's just rubbish.
He's just terrible, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, God. An anti-climax.
Always has been, though. But, yeah, I'm off to Hong Kong tomorrow with Cathay Pacific.
Cathay who?
Martin Murray, the chief financial officer. He's looking after us. There's a few of us going.
Say CFO makes us sound way more corporate.
Yeah. Right, CFO, sorry, I had a breather.
Oh, the Hastings brothers, the big ones.
The big ones, yeah. They're out there. Andy Nichols out there.
Great.
I'm doing something with Simon Shaw, so it'd be great to bump into him.
Will Jiffy be out there?
I'm not sure. I think Jiffy went for Wales in Hong Kong week, which was St. David's Day week and the start of March. But I met Shawsy out there a few years ago now, and I always remember we were at the Hong Kong Rugby Club watching some of their amateur rugby going on there, and he went into the toilet. I think I told you about this. And as he was going to the toilet, I finished, and I just did a massive, "Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the toilet, Wasps, England, British and Irish Lions, Simon Shaw!"
And he hated it.
Yeah, and as I was doing Shaw, I just walked out. Let him deal with it.
Yeah, some of that.
Yeah, have some of that.
I love a big announced entry with people that hate it. Because, like, if someone did it to you and me, it'd be like, nah, rather you hadn't done that, but don't really care. But some lads hate it.
Oh, I've done it. I've had it done with me before by Blum, and I've just gone under a table, mate. It's been horrific. And it's even worse when people just sort of looking around thinking, oh, right. Yeah, I think I remember.
Who?
Yeah, I think
yeah, I remember. I remember Matt Powell did it on
Gruy.
He did it on Danny Grucock all the time. And the best one he ever did was on Milsom Street, which is the main shopping street in Bath. And you just hear, ladies, it's packed. And I say, ladies and gentlemen, Bath, England, British Lions, it's Danny Grucock. And he's got a traffic cone off the road.
Oh, even
using
better.
Using it as a megaphone.
Even
Dan
better.
Dan hated it. Did it at his local pub as well, which Dan never forgave him for because he used to go in there all the time.
Yeah.
And just like, Danny's coming. Do you want to do a Q&A? And they're like, what's a Q&A? Do you want to do a Q&A? Dan, a quick interview with Dan. He's really keen to do it. So just build relationships. And he got in and there was like a crescent of people. They moved him into like a semicircle, a crescent, and was like, here he is. Round of applause. Tried to get out. We wouldn't let him out. Poor bloke.
Yeah. No, it's. I love doing it to people, but on the same foot, it's not that nice being done to you.
No.
It's a bit cringy, but you just deal with it, don't you?
Yeah, I often bring a head anyway.
Yeah. You put an area out for me, please.
Yeah, so what have you been up to then?
A little bit
kid?
Of rope. What have I been up to?
We haven't seen each other this week, have we?
A little bit quiet, to be honest, my man.
By the way, I've got your toiletries, socks and pants.
Yes.
That you left at mine. I've washed them all. They're all ready, okay?
Oh, great.
So all done. So when I see you next, I'll give you your pants back. Same as mine, and the oddballs ones.
Yeah.
And the reason I know they're yours is because I just put them in my drawer thinking I went to put them on. Bit tight for me, fella.
A little bit. I think they're large, aren't they? I haven't
washed them since I tried them on. Is that okay?
That's fine. I prefer it that way.
Yeah.
Had a little trip down to London last week. Met up with Peter Scrivener.
Yeah.
Just talking business, mate. Just talking business.
The Gaucho, were you?
No, we weren't in Gaucho, actually. We were at his offices, which were sort of by bank. But I met up with Your Golf Travel because I'm arranging this trip for the Cardiff Blues, like the Blues Foundation. We're doing a corporate golf trip to Palmer. So I had to meet Your Golf Travel, sorting all that out, just little things, you know, like the menu, the food.
Is that Palmer, Mallorca Palmer?
Mallorca Palmer, yeah.
Lovely place. Love it. Went there last year.
Yeah. Smashed a few golf balls on a Thursday. And it's been a quiet weekend for me because, A, I wanted to watch the quarterfinals. And B, it was Mother's Day on Sunday. And
well done.
C, I'm off to Hong Kong on Tuesday. So, you know, you've got to do the hard yards, haven't you, mate?
Of course you have. You've got to get credit in the bank. Mm. Oh, he's the best guy. Just the best guy. See ya. Smashed for 5 days. Come back a shell of a man. Dust. You come back a husk of a man. Yeah. Worst husband, dad in the world when you come back for a few days.
It's the plane journey back, isn't it? Any turbulence, you think you're going to die.
You hope you're going to die in the end. Just take me then. Just take me then.
Oh, yeah, so not a great deal. I watched a load of rugby, which, as you know and I know, I just bloomin' love.
You bloomin' love it, don't you?
What have you been up to?
Oh, fella boy. Well, when did we do our last pod?
I think we did
Sunday
it.
Sunday or the Monday?
Sunday or Monday.
Anyway, Monday I think it was. Yeah, it was Monday. So I had a dinner with Christian Day, who's the old Saints lock. He works for the Rugby Players Association.
That's
now,
right.
So
son of Doris.
Son of Doris, yeah, exactly it. And
Daniel.
Twin brother of Darren.
Daniel Day.
Yeah. Lewis. So anyway, there's more of them. There's more of them. Okay. So
Jason.
He's okay.
Sorry.
He arranged this thing in London at Gaucho. By the way, Gaucho are not a sponsor of this podcast. It's just you normally meet Scrivs in Gaucho, don't you?
Yeah.
And I happen to go to Gaucho, that's why I said it. So we went there and it was basically like a transition for a little chat by yours truly on how to transition from rugger to real life and how I'm kind of, I don't say how I did it, how I'm doing it basically. And
just BSing yourself along your way through life. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just blagging it basically. But talked a lot about obviously Michelle and how helpful she was and is, continues to be, and what a driver she was for me. But it was nice. So Stephen Myler was there. There was loads of guys there. Yeah. So Alex Waller was there and Mark Lambert was there, some other guys. It was really, really nice. Nick Fenton Wells. And we just had a nice chat. But basically, I think they wanted it to be about 2 hours long, including dinner, steak, wine, bit of pud, really nice dinner, a private little dining room at the back there at Gaucho and Piccadilly up at the top. And
yeah,
it was nice. But unfortunately, they signed up the wrong bloke, mate. If you want to get away on time, don't sign me up as a centre of attention, okay? Because I don't like being the centre of attention card. But once it starts, it's like 9:45 and everyone's like, I've got to go. I was like, oh yeah, sorry about that. People at games. So they got it all, mate. But it was like, it was really nice actually. So yeah, done that, and then went up to Sarri's and hosted the Saracens Sport Foundation London Air Ambulance, like a charity dinner they do at Allianz Park every year. And you know, it's just, if you weren't there, you don't know, man. But it was just lovely. Like we had a couple of autistic kids came on the, well, they're like 18, to be fair, came on the stage with their parents and they were just class. One of them was so terrified she wasn't going to come up. She was panicking.
Yeah.
She had a big sort of ear defenders on because the room was too noisy for her and she was terrified about coming up. She came up and completely stole the show to the point where I said, oi, Lizzie, don't take the piss, mate. This is my show, all right? It's my gig. Don't care if it's all about you tonight. It's not. So you've done your bit. Get off. And we had a lovely time with them and raised a load of money, which is nice. But that was wonderful, right? That was the most fulfilling thing I did last week. But the most fun, out and out fun was I did a day with Triumph UK with Triumph Motorbikes.
Ah, yes, I saw you.
And the two things were amazing about it. One was that we got to play on Triumph bikes all day.
Mm-hmm.
And eat at Caffeine and Machine, which is Tom Ford. He's like, if you're into cars, he's a car journalist and used to do Fifth Gear and Top Gear and stuff. And he set up this place called Caffeine and Machine, and it's just a wicked place. Really good food and drink and stuff. But petrol heads all from all over the place drive there for lunch and dinner. And there's just, the car park is just nuts. You'd have no interest. I was in heaven, absolute heaven. And so there were vintage Porsches, vintage Range Rovers, new special edition Range Rovers. There were CT, you know, Chevy C10 V8 trucks, and it was amazing. Anyway, did that, but Ian Wright was there.
Yeah,
Wrighty. It was me and Wrighty, mate, just cruising on the bikes. Me and Wrighty, although I'm not a massively fast rider, I'm, touch wood, I'm pretty careful, but I just like being on the bike. But Wrighty, I would describe him as a more progressive, he makes slightly more rapid progress on a bike than I do.
Okay.
Holy moly. He does not hang about. He really does not hang about. So we stopped every 20 minutes and half an hour and swapped bikes and everyone had a go on everything. In the end, he's like, what do you want to go on, righties? He's like, whatever, mate. Whatever I get on's getting ragged. So that was it. And he was just flying. But
I saw a picture.
Silly.
You sent a picture on a WhatsApp group we're all on.
Yeah.
I was hoping you were there with him because I replied, didn't I, saying, ah, oh, righty, ask him if he found that bottle of rosé in the bush.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Tell him right. Shank says hello.
He'll know. He'll know what you mean.
I've never, ever met the guy. I was just hoping you were going to say something like, oh, I've got a mate, Shanks. He says, do you find that bottle of rosé in the bush?
Luckily, I sent you the picture the day after, so I didn't actually.
I love doing that to people. Myself.
Yeah, he got lost on the way there because it's a funny place to find. And we picked him up in the Morrison's car park and he followed us in his whip. And as soon as we got there, he gets out. He's like, all right, boys, how's it going? I'm righty, you know. And he goes, look at this, right? You know Rude Ullett? Yeah. Look at the grot he's sending me on WhatsApp. Sends a picture. Yeah, it's like dodgy videos on WhatsApp. It's like, Rude Ullett's the worst, mate. You know, and he wasn't name dropping. He's obviously just very open.
Yeah.
Lovely man. Rav Wilding was there as well. Ex-copper off a telly. Lovely bloke. So it was just... And yeah, it was just...
I think I'd get on with Rude Ullett already.
Yeah, it turns out he's a bit naughty. But yeah, then a couple of chilled days, fella. But I did a commentator with Ugo on Worcester. Mac Vesic was pitch side. Worcester Quinns the other night. And then I was yesterday in the studio in Stratford commentating on La Rochelle against Bristol.
Oh, okay. In the European Challenge.
Yeah, it's actually really, really good game to watch. La Rochelle were brilliant. They've been crap the last month, but they were really good. But it's one of those things where you're in the studio but and you're not alive at the game because it's like we've got so many games, we can't send a live crew everywhere.
In the broom cupboard.
So you do it at the broom cupboard, down the tube, they call it, or off tube or something like that. You basically look at a screen and do it in a little sound booth with Martin Gillingham, the commentator, and people, you're not, you know, the unwritten rule is you don't pretend you're there because that's lying.
You just don't mention it, do you?
You don't tell them you're not there because then it seems fake or whatever. But I quite like to drop in the old, you smell that hot dog round. It looks really hot. And the players were sweating their tits off. Like it was so hot. I said something like, it looks really hot. It's actually freezing here.
Yeah. God, the sun. He's looking at me like, the sun is just incredible. I mean, you won't notice it on the TV,
like we are,
but
it's freezing.
Where you are. Where
I love that. So yeah, that's me, our kid. That's me, all right.
And that's our roundup.
Yeah. Hey, well done. Well done, mate.
Should go to the rugger.
Yeah.
Did you watch many of game? Have you seen highlights?
I've seen quite a lot, yeah.
Okay. Well done, you.
One game I've seen none of, because for some reason it wouldn't play the footage on my phone. I don't know why. Was of Racing Toulouse, which apparently was the best of the lot.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But you can take a shot. I've seen the try.
Okay, cool. That's fine.
Yeah.
Edinburgh Munster.
Yeah.
Okay. There was a good chance. I thought I was feeling quite confident that this might be Edinburgh's season.
What gave you that impression?
Well, they've turned it around. This sort of middle part of the season. Richard Cockerell been there for a couple of years now. Things are starting to work. You know, you look at the squad and the team. There's players coming through. They're looking strong. You know, you look at players like Darcy Graham. You know, we wouldn't have heard of him a year ago. Duane van der Meer on the wing as well. He had, you know, he's been there. And he's really come through this season. There's just plenty of good players, really, there. Bill Matter at 8, what a carrier. Hamish Watson back fit. John Barkley back fit. I just sort of thought that this might be Edinburgh's time. And to be fair, they had enough possession and opportunities to win the game. But I feel they just they lack that killer edge, don't they? Like Sarries, Leinster, Munster. You know, those types of teams have. They just know how to finish
off
games.
It does separate good teams from top teams, doesn't it? That
massively, massively. And it's just little things all the time, which, you know, you look at Henry Purgos trying to slap the ball down. And, the ref is blatantly saying to him, leave it, get back. And for some reason, he just zones out, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But Earlsey, the opportunist.
He's very quick, isn't he?
Mate. He finished off another try as well in the corner. But, you know, he's
quick,
not...
He's always quicker than I thought he was every time I see him sprint.
But you're talking about a guy who's not 21, 22 years old. He's, you know, with all due respect, he's probably coming towards the end of
his... He's 40 now. He was 40 on Tuesday.
His career, but...
And do you know what? Do you know what? He looks it.
Okay? Did you think Conor Murray's judo throw, though, was warrant of a card or to call
well,
back?
I don't want you to copy me on this. So tell me what you think, then I'll tell you what I think, because I know what you're like.
Okay, I think that's... The way he's thrown Pyrgos is legal.
It is legal.
Pyrgos lands on Murray's arm, on his back, doesn't go anywhere near his head. So I think play on.
You are old school. You think violence is cool and you don't care about people's brains.
I do.
By the way, I agree with you.
Okay, fine.
I do care about all those things, but I agree with you. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think there comes a point, and I'm sure we'll talk about the incident, the Racing Toulouse game, the red card in a minute. And I just think that we keep, as I said on the TV a couple of times today, we all keep saying to the letter of the law, to the letter of the law. And I think the time has come to start promoting a modicum of common sense as well. And it's like Stuart Barnes said it once, but it's nothing to do with rugby, but he said it once. He said, it's just like, you know, doing 85 is illegal, but doing 85 on the M4 when it's completely empty at 10:30 at night, or 11 at night when there's no other cars on it, is not unsafe.
No.
So by all means, remind me that it's illegal. Maybe I should, but actually you can't really say that's dangerous. I mean, if we're all honest, that's not dangerous as long as you're not on a mountain bike. So a bit of common sense. And for me, that didn't warrant a card, no.
But there's a couple of, like Edinburgh, they should have taken more points early instead of going for line out. Munster had a couple of real key turnovers, you know, like 5 metres out from their own line, which sort of just halts all of Edinburgh's play, really, and momentum. And then I just thought, like, Mata was unlucky. He gives a penalty away. And I didn't think it was a high shot. I thought it doesn't touch his neck. I thought it was a fine tackle, but penalty's given. But the incident that turned the game was the Schumann incident, where he runs offline. He just changes direction just to give Targ Byrne a little check, a little just shoulder.
He gives him a nudge. He definitely gives him a nudge.
He runs out of his way, really. Just a little movement to the right to barge him. But what a dive by Targ Byrne.
Do you know what's...
Incredible.
Do you know what's almost as bad as that dive? Is that I'd done a tweet this morning, it being Monday where we are now in this country. I'd done a tweet saying Jacob Stockdale's apologised for his cock up.
Yeah,
sorry. Along those lines. And everyone who's replied saying it, I've checked them and they're Munster fans. They've replied saying, oh, so it's all right to put the shoulder in. Oh, so you're saying it's as bad as Jacob Stockdale cost his team the game. Tide Bird didn't. He's like, do you know what you're doing, lads? And it is all men. Do you know what you're doing, lads? Is you are the very beginning of diving becoming acceptable in rugby. Yeah. That is where it starts. Football didn't go from no one ever dived to everyone dives like Muppets. It started off with it gradually becoming, you know, like the old saying, you know, an alcoholic wasn't an alcoholic when he had his first pint. It gradually becomes more and more acceptable. And these are the literally the people who are doing it. I said to one guy on Twitter, you are making diving acceptable. You are the beginning of it. He needs to apologise. And now, because he's one of the best players in the world, and that was disgraceful and embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. I'd like Pathetic. To think I'd never do that. Honestly, I would. But that
you'd never have done that,
fella
boy.
That Schumann line is something exactly that you would do or would have done.
100%.
Yeah, I could just imagine you just...
Cheap shot.
Yeah, but it's not really... It's not a massive cheap shot. You're just saying, here I am.
Just annoying.
This is me.
You kind of want to get in the way.
Yeah, it's annoying, isn't it? It's annoying.
And you kind of want a bit of a scrap about nothing because you're not having, you know... I wasn't that talented, so it was like, if I can cause something that, you know, at least reminds the coaches I'm in the team.
Yeah, I mean, the highlight was Keith Earls finished, though, for his second try. And you watch this, okay, because... Especially off line-out plays, right? Nines defend the blind, okay? So they defend the blind. But if the plays switch back, then your nine is covering your winger's position. And Pyrgos, again, just shoots out the line.
Yeah.
And you're down on numbers. The best wingers do it, but the best wingers are used to doing it. And more often than not, you know, they'll take man and ball. You know, they'll just halt that attack. Someone like Brian Habana, you know, is just amazing at it. But if a nines are in those positions, you've just got to work with your back line. You've got to trust them. You've got to trust your inside, trust the system, and push them out to the corner. Henry Purvis just flies out, and it just gives Keith Earl that outside break, and the cover's coming across. So it's not as if he's going under the post, but a bit of a defensive error there. But look, it was, I thought it was a really good performance by Edinburgh, and they just need to find that ruthless side to him, don't they, if they want to progress further in the competition.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Let's talk, let's just go straight to it and talk about the Jacob Stockdale thing. And let me start by saying to you something Kenny Logan said to me years ago, watching a game together, and he said, why, oh, why do players do that? I said, what, Kenny? And he said this to me, Tom. Why do players score? If there's space, they're trying to get around under the post, fine.
Yeah.
Why do players score so far over the try line? Why don't you effectively aim for the line or 6 inches past it? Why do you have to sprint over the line?
Because it's going to hurt, maybe, if you dive in at that pace, potentially.
Maybe, but surely it's not going to hurt as much as getting twatted, is it, by somebody? So it's like, poor bloke. He doesn't need any more hammering from people like us.
You've got to score that, though, mate. I'm sorry. You've got to score that try.
Tommy, it's absolutely... unforgivable is the wrong word, because I forgive him. But it is, that is absolutely shocking lack of concentration. That is a lack of focus.
It's the biggest blunder you can do. And you just think how that try would have just completely changed the game, okay? So,
yeah.
Leinster then get a penalty, clear their lines, and a couple of minutes later, Cronin makes a break, nearly loses his shorts. He's trying to pull him up as he's running, and feeds Adam Byrne for a try on the right-hand side, which was an unbelievable pass. The bloke's got two guys on him, yet he still manages to get a pass away to Byrne.
And he's been de-kegged. He's de-kegged himself.
Yeah, and he's trying to pull him
Cronin,
up.
Yeah.
So
what a game he had.
Yeah, oof. I mean, that was like, I'd say, international intensity. You know, you had the grit, the collisions, you had the niggle, the lot. It was such an intense game. And so much went on as well. And you got Ross Byrne, who was in for Sexton. And, you know, he misses a couple of kicks. He's cramped up and nails the winner from 72, on the 72nd minute, right from the corner.
His kick pass game is pretty good, isn't it?
Very good.
Yeah.
Did you see Cooney's jaw after the match ended?
No.
He's obviously taken a massive knock on it. Oh, it was swollen. It was Jamie Roberts-esque. Yeah, massive.
It was that huge. Bad?
Yeah. Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah, it was. And like, but see also,
Jamie Roberts' jeans at the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
We'll, tweeted about them.
Yeah, we'll pick up on that in a bit.
Fella.
I know.
Fella boy.
I know, yeah, but
we'll get to that.
Ringrose gets charged down early doors, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And Ulster start off really well. I mean, you've got to feel sorry for Ulster. And Dan McFarlane he's done a great job in a short time there for him. There's no doubt about that. But it was theirs for the taking, I thought. And I loved the McCloskey delayed pass to Billy Burns. You just have to hear the commentary and Ben Kay's climaxing in the comms, because it's that nice.
Apparently he did actually climax. He wasn't meant to tell anyone, but
It's such a delicious pass. And it hits Marshall, who's comes back from injury and scores a try. But somehow, Cooney misses that kick, which I can't believe either.
Yeah, stunning.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you in terms of the intensity of that match. That was... I mean, I've watched plenty of test matches that weren't anywhere near as intense as that. I mean, that you could watch a Six Nations game between Ireland and France, and it is not at that quality, and it is not at that physicality. It's not there.
No way.
There were multiple games in the Six Nations, which was a great Six Nations, really, really good and competitive. There were multiple games that didn't achieve that level of intensity.
Yeah, exactly.
Wales played in most of the ones that did, because their defence was so aggressive, but it was just magnificent. And I must say, I do think Jacob Stockdale, you absolute muppet, but I do think, poor bloke, I really feel sorry for him, because he must have woken up feeling like crap.
Yeah, and it's not as if he's been a poor player over the past 2 years either. Six Nations Player of the Year last year. He's had an incredible rise to fame. He's classer. Just his ability to get himself free from four tackles of Leinster players was incredible to watch anyway.
Yeah, but hang on, right? We're missing something. You've got these broken tackles of one or two committed defenders who palmed couldn't quite off. Get there. And he's also broken the tackle of someone who had absolutely no interest in colliding with him and jumped out of the way. Was it Jordan Lama playing fullback for Leinster?
Yes.
Yeah, no interest. He had absolutely... I'm remembering it right that he went through and Stockdale cut inside and went on inside of Lama.
He goes on the outside. I think he fends off Lama. He basically just goes around the outside.
Who was it? He kind of goes through. Anyway, whoever that was, I can't bring it up on my computer now because I'm...
Willie LaRue.
That's it. It must be. But it literally, whoever it was, had zero interest. It was a proper... Because Javier Garbajosa was the French legend, was coaching, he's coaching La Rochelle now. And I was just thinking about in comms, I was like, that was one of his tackles. Just, I'm sorry, as a professional, you haven't got to nail everyone, but stick Mike Brown there, mate.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't score that try. I mean, he might do him on the outside, whatever. He ain't just going through him like that. It's embarrassing.
Every time I see Stockdale and Aluso, you just realise how quick he is because he's a big bloke. Yeah. Mm.
Did you see what his under-20s coach said about him?
No. Never going
to
make it?
Interesting. No, he said it's interesting because he used to give us quite a few frights when he was playing 20s because he likes to put the ball down one-handed or something. He likes to go a long way over the try line.
Okay.
We often used to think, God, you're cutting it fine. Effectively, that's not verbatim, but I'm paraphrasing. But it turns out, you know, it's a bit of a habit. So he might think about that now.
It's such a skill, though, to be able to hand someone off. I think it's Lama that he hands off, but then accelerate when you're doing it as well.
Yeah.
It's sort of like you use their momentum to just propel you forward.
Yeah.
You know, I really enjoyed watching that.
I feel sorry for him because he's such a...
Yeah, and the camera was on him straight after the game as well, and he was just on his own. But, you know, unfortunately, you're going to feel like that for a bit, and rightly so, but you'll get over it. He's a quality player. He's a lion in the making, that's for sure.
Yep.
Just before we get on to Jamie Roberts' jeans, we'll pick up on Saracens Glasgow. Stuart Hoghaire, seen it?
Eminem.
Mate.
Bieber.
Yaz. What's he done to it?
I know.
What's he done to it? He's had a shocker there. He's had a complete shocker. I mean, what is it? It's not even his own hair.
Even a bad bloke. It just looks... Oh, God, it looks awful, doesn't it?
He's going through some sort of midlife crisis, I think. Some identity crisis.
He needs to get a motorbike, mate, and a leather jacket. That's what he needs. Like me and Paul Hollywood.
Before we crack into this game, Saracens have absolutely destroyed Glasgow. And Jamie George has said the best is yet to come. Can they get better than that?
Yeah, and do you know what? They scored a shed load of points.
They did.
Tons of tries. Was it seven tries they scored? Something like that. I honestly don't think the scoreline does Sarries justice. I think they were better than that.
Mm.
They were so dominant.
Glasgow come back and score a couple towards the end, but the game's already won.
The game's dead. Mm. But Sarries were so much better than Glasgow that even though we know how good Sarries are, it did actually surprise me how superior they were.
It also surprises me how good they are with Alex Good at 10. And I know he started the last four games at 10, but for the last 10, 12 years, predominantly he's played 15. And there is a huge difference to playing 10 and 15. I mean, I don't care if you've played it when you're younger and you're playing it through up to 18s, up to under 19s level. When you're playing sport professionally, top level, in a men's game, and you're not playing at 10 week in, week out, that is the most important position, that and 9, to be playing every week if you want to be a quality 10. But he just takes it in his stride. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he does. And he obviously is fantastic and what a player, but...
He's behind a great pack.
Yeah, but no, I spoke with Paul Grayson the other day, last week, when we were doing the live Sarries game from London Stadium. And he said, he was like, it's an interesting one because he said he watches him and there is a difference between... He's clearly a wonderful player, right? But put him in a team that isn't dominant, put him in a team that goes through periods of struggling during a game, whatever, And actually, there are you can watch every now and again. And I can't remember what he did last week, but Grace showed me a couple of examples. And he's like, that is where having a flat out natural 10, this doesn't happen. This doesn't happen because you got someone who naturally has been there 100 times and you can spot someone who's out of position. And he was actually saying something similar about Max Malins, who's a lovely fly half. But he's like, but this kid has always been so talented that he's probably never had to get himself out of trouble that much, get to Prem level. And that's why potentially Max Malins is better suited to 15. And the same with Good, because they're actually, they're not natural 10s. It's quite interesting. So yes, I'm not saying he wasn't great. He was, but they were
But I'm not saying he's a 10 either. I'm saying from the step up to playing 15 for 12 years, to be able to play 10 and to be able to play it so well is incredible.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I agree with you entirely. But Liam Williams.
Oh, man. Like, that chip that he collects, it's nearly undefensible, because you've got someone that's so good in the air, moving forward, who's able to leap like that to take the ball down. It's like, how do you defend that unless you're 7 foot tall? It's really hard. And it also shows you that you don't have to be a big guy. You don't have to be a big bruiser, 18, 17 stone, to hit those short lines off nine.
Yeah.
He just skips through that tackle. It's just timing. It's having the eye for the gap. And what about Jamie?
Courage. It's courage, actually.
Yeah, you've got to be brave. What about Jamie George's pass?
Yeah. I mean, it's the little one off the breakdown, you mean?
Yeah.
Do you know, and again, you'll have seen it. I tweeted about it. And there's always one, I know we don't swear on this podcast. There's always one bell end. That's not a swear word. Okay, use a different word. There's always one chopper who will reply and say, I think you're getting a bit excited, mate. It's just a pass. If you can't pass off his left hand, he shouldn't be a professional. It's like, we're not saying it's the world's greatest pass, you mug. What we're saying is it's a brilliant piece of awareness from a front rower, not just a tight fiver, a front rower, to do ultimately what looks very simple, but actually is naturally a scrum half job. There isn't another, no other player in the team is expected to do that as naturally as he did it. And it's great game awareness. It's great positional awareness. He's not just a front rower who's steaming into breakdowns. He's listening. He's obviously being told, Jenks, we got it. It's on. Lift it. And he just makes it look so simple. And it's like the Cipriani passes. It's like, he had the advantage, or Sarri's are winning by loads, whatever. Okay, why isn't everyone else doing it then? Why aren't the other top players in the country doing that? And it's because they're not as good.
There'll be backs.
That's the main reason.
There'll be backs that wouldn't be able to throw that pass because it's a missed pass. It's about identifying a 2v1 and he hits his man and straight scores. But I tell you what sums up Saracens, right? This try, the Barrett try, just sums them up because it's off the middle. It's clean off the top. You've got your best carry in the backs, Barrett, over the gain line. Yeah. You've got your second best carrier, Vunipola, over the gain line. But what really impressed me is how they realign when they get back. The speed in which they realign when they flash back is brilliant. Barrett has just carried one before Vunipola. He gets himself back in a position. They flash back. There's two ways of attack. And, you know, Saracens aren't looking to score first or second phase. It's the third phase where they're looking to cut teams in this play. And they just do it superbly well. You've got the winger then. I'm not sure who it is on the wing. I'm not sure if it's Ali Price or whoever. He's got a decision to make. Does he stay out for Maitland or does he jam in for Barrett? And then Lazowski just puts Barrett through the hole. But that is just that straight off the training field. And as I said, you know, they're doing A and B to cut teams at C. And they're so good at that. And that's not the first time. That just happens most weeks for Saracens.
Yeah, they were hugely impressive. Would you look at that performance and think that makes them favourites? Or do you think Leinster surviving a game like that and coming through and winning it makes them favourites? And I'll add to that question.
Good.
Do you think one of the things that someone tweeted, who was it? Murray Kinsella or somebody tweeted, don't know who it was, a list of basically the venues for Leinster's last, whatever it is, 20, 25 knockout games in Europe. And almost all of them in bloody Dublin. And it's a neutral ground because it's not their home ground, the Aviva. But they get home advantage so often. And you look at it and think, hang on a minute, I'd like to see everyone else's. That doesn't look fair at all. To the point where I love watching Leinster play. I'm not a hater. That is not fair.
What was your question to me? There's two parts.
The question is, do you think it's ridiculous and they should... Do you know what? If an Irish team is playing an English team in Europe, they should go and play in France. But then maybe nobody would go and watch, so it doesn't work. And do you make Sarri's favourites now?
I would say I'm not sure if Sarri's going to be favourites. Leinster would have taken more out of that game.
Give me a decision, please.
Leinster would have taken more out of that game than Saracens would, because Saracens, yeah, a lot of their training field moves worked and they scored a lot of tries, but Leinster were really in a dogfight there. They really had to pull through, and Leinster will certainly take more from that win than Saracens. Saracens just romped home. I think quarter final, I think it's worked out with how many points you've got. So I think, you know, that the incentive is to finish as high as you can in your group. Semi-finals, yeah, I agree, should be neutral venue, but I certainly think, you know, if you're finishing with the most points in a quarter in your group stages, you should have a home quarter.
Yeah.
Can we get on to the jeans now?
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Let's get on to Jamie Roberts' jeans and let's talk about the grief he gave me.
Yeah, because I text him straight away.
Good. I knew you would. I knew you would.
One of the boys put it on the group we're on, and I said, "Oh, that you had a go at Flats last week, didn't you? Oh, a couple of weeks ago about it, didn't you?" And he went, "Guilty."
Yeah.
Went, "Have this." It's had quite a few retweets. I've been quite happy with it.
Have you? Has it gone well for you, that one?
I mean, there was loads of things I was going to put, you know, but you obviously, you know, if it's on social media, you have to be fairly clean. I was going to write, I can see what you had for breakfast there, mate. They were extremely tight. And he's a big bloke as well. He's got big legs. But these were gripping around the quad, as a lot of jeans do for rugby players, because you've got big quads. But they were gripping around the calves as well.
Yeah, but I get that, fella. I get that real bad. Whenever I stand up, I have to just... luckily, I'm still more flexible than I look. I have to bend down and pull my jeans back down towards my shoes because my calves pull up my trousers. But his aren't mutant calves, I don't think. Maybe they are.
They're all in proportion. I'd say yours are fairly large compared to the rest of you.
How about that for the stadium?
How about it? It's like a disco, isn't it? It's like a discotheque. Yeah. It's just, I'd love to have played there. I'm never going to play there unless I make a comeback, which I probably could. But I want to go and watch a game there. That's for sure.
Yeah.
The jeans were the highlight at the start. But should we crack straight in to the tackle?
Yeah.
Okay, so go on, you go first because I don't want to upset you.
This is where you're not going to upset me. This is where, I mean this, Tom, all right? You and I, as ex-pros who, you know, to whom quite a lot of people listen every now and again or weekly, we have to be careful because we don't want to slip into that games gone soft stuff, which is a load of rubbish.
100%, mate. 100%.
However, watch the game. I mean, it's anything but soft. It's brutal, the game now. So I do, but this is what I was talking about, the doing 85 on an empty motorway is not the same as doing 85 in central London. It's kind of, I think, a bit of, is it common sense or is it just a little bit of human, a little bit of empathy, a bit of empathy and a bit of understanding and a bit of perspective needs injecting into it at the moment, I think, because it's a little bloke who's aimed at a perfectly reasonable height.
5'7".
Last second, yeah, tiny bloke, but that doesn't matter. Like, Kyle Eastman has had some red cards the last couple of seasons and they've been rightly red cards because he's smashed in with a swinging arm and he's nailing people. But it's different. He has aimed at a perfectly reasonable height for someone who's, you know, small bloke anyway. Not that makes any difference. And the last minute, the ball carrier has basically dipped down to try and give him the big Luke Cowan Dickie smash off. And it's that is categorically not his fault. And I feel like unless we just go purely to legs, which, by the way, I think it's in France they're doing it, in League Two or universities or something like that. They are somewhere in the world, they are trialing legs, hips and below. So no upper body hits at all.
Never going to work.
See how it goes.
Never going to work.
But while the laws are as they are, I think you have to say, yes, he made contact with the head, but I'm sorry, it's just not his fault. And I'm going to go even further and say I wouldn't even have given a penalty for that.
Right.
What do you think? Do you disagree with Moi?
Well, David, shoulder made contact with the neck area. So I can see why people would think that is a red card, okay? But it can't always be just purely on outcome. It can't, because then you're just breaking down the game. Every single ruck, every single maul, if there is contact with the head, is a red card. It cannot be like that. I totally agree with you. I'm not one of these. The game's gone soft at all. You know, it's more brutal. It is harder. You're 100% right. But as you've said, Imhoff does dip. He dips low, and you can see that. Holmes has to make a tackle. It's a difficult tackle to make. It's the right tackle to make as well, by the way, you know, in terms of technique. That is the tackle to... Otherwise, you know, you're going to go low. That is when you're going to get concussed as a tackler, because you're going to get knees, you're going to get shoulders. It's the correct tackle for that type of tackle. And Luke Pearce actually says he wants to have a look at it to see if the player is lower in his height. And Imhoff is. So I don't see why he's asked that, but yet he's just blatantly ignored it. So he sets himself early as well, Holmes, doesn't he? He's 5'7". He's gone low. He's attempted to go low, but there's been contact with the head because Imhoff has lowered his height to try and bounce him. Now, I agree, mate. It's not a penalty. I think it's a great tackle, play on. And I think it's very easy. Not everyone has come out and said that it's a penalty or not a penalty. A lot of people come out and said it's a red card, but I think it's easy to say, it's an easy option to say it's a red card, because you're not going to get the abuse on social media. You're not going to get abuse from any people that are involved in the medical profession or doctors or people who've had past injuries with head injuries. So for me, it's a safe option, right? Red card, move on. But for me, it's not at all. It's a good tackle. It's play on. You have to have a responsibility as a carrier as well. It cannot solely be on the defender. So,
I say I struggle to disagree with you, but it's almost like I want to disagree with you, but I don't. I do agree with that. And there are lots of people, and it's obviously it's completely fine. Think what you like. And I don't.
It's subjective. It's subjective, isn't it?
Yeah, because we've never minded people disagreeing with us, which is handy, because lots of people do in our line of work. But lots of people, and people who know every bit about rugby as much about rugby as we do, are saying, well done, Luke Pearce. I must say, I really like Luke Pearce as a ref. And he's got a great tan all year round. So I find that suspect. But I don't agree with that. And for me, it's like, you know, it's unfortunate. We don't want that. Don't collision with your heads. But this is just, you know, what do you do unless the laws say you can't tackle with anything but the legs, hips and legs. Until then, this is going to happen. And I think we need to be a bit more sensible about it and say, well, yes, contact with the head or the chin or the head or the neck has been made, and we don't want that. However, it was, you know, it wasn't actually, there was not a lot the defender could have done about it under the current laws.
No, I
agree with you. I'm with you.
But it's just the way, you know, Luke Pearce actually is explaining it and saying he cannot see the attacker lowering his body height, because that is a reason why that he potentially might not give a red card. But
yeah,
he blatantly is. But anyway, Toulouse started in sixth gear, didn't they? Massive turbo injection.
Yeah.
Medard with the Burning Man in side chops.
Yeah.
Wow.
Still got it.
Yeah.
Or rather got it again.
I mean, we were... I'm not sure if we picked a punt or not in our Six Nations number nine team of the tournament. Mainly because I don't think he started the first two games, but he goes under the sticks for the first try and he scores another try as well.
We didn't pick him at nine because...
But he didn't start the first two games. He definitely didn't start the first one. I'm pretty sure he didn't start the second one.
No, he wasn't. He didn't. But he's fabulous, but he didn't play that much was the main thing. But then... Yeah. Finn Russell, we basically picked him for his second half against England. So,
but
anyway,
let's be fair, there weren't that many tens who were sticking their hand up through that tournament either.
No.
But talking about Finn Russell, I mean, when he's on fire and on form, it's like watching slow-mo. And I mean that like as a compliment, because everything he does is sort of slow motion, just makes the right decisions. You know, that intercept and the grubber for Teddy Thomas.
Just glorious.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you're making the right decisions like that, executing skill like that. For someone like me, I'd have to slow that right down to jogging pace for that to work. But for him, he just manages to do it with full steam. And you think the red card then to Holmes is going to ruin the game, but it doesn't at all. There's a couple of yellow cards for Racing.
Makes it better.
But there's a couple of yellow cards for Racing, which help as well, because they're down to 14 aside then.
Yeah.
But what was nice, though, is you get Colby returns a kick. You get two long passes, quality passes, and Tozan out the back. And he came in late for Huge as though? Well. I know.
What was that?
I know. Do you know what? It's incredible. I've not seen a pass like that. I have seen a couple of passes like that, but not. You see them in sevens, really. You don't see them in 15s. You see them from someone in a Fijian shirt, don't you, at Dubai or Hong Kong.
Yeah.
You don't see it in a quarter final of a European Cup. And
no.
It's unreal.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's outrageous. I absolutely loved it. Watched that 100 times. It was just brilliant.
And De Pont's second try, you know, Finn Russell, who loves shooting up out the line. He loves shooting up out the line, partly because it saves him from making a tackle. And it doesn't have to make an aggressive tackle, and he can make a wrap tackle. Also, he shoots up for the intercept. But for DuPont's try, it doesn't work because Russell shoots out the line, takes no one, and he ends up making DuPont's decision for him. So he's shot out of the line. DuPont has no other option but to step inside. Yeah. Footwork and pace sees him through. But what a game, though. I love watching that game. It was, for me, the best game of the weekend.
Oh, you think it was better than Leinster Ulster? Fella.
Maybe.
You think it was better than Worcester Quins?
Didn't see that one.
It wasn't great, actually, Worcester Quins. It was all right. It wasn't great. Mm. Not too special. Okay. So it's a tight one. It's a tighty. It's a tighty. But
what would you say?
I'm going to go, if you don't mind. Thing is,
talk me through Worcester Quins then.
No, I mean...
Who was there?
I was there with Ugo, all right?
Okay.
And Mata Kvisic. And it was... Do you know what? It was fine, but I did watch it and think, I reckon Worcester are going to go down, you know? Because they got so many good players. They are very good. They were kind of almost constantly in Quinn's third of the field.
Yeah.
From start to finish. But they just hardly scored any points. It was quite odd. It was like... They're just not that good at scoring points, and they've got some brilliant players. But it's just Quinn's got a couple of chances, and their quality players scored them. Worcester got a load of chances and really struggled to score. And you just think that is, I don't know. And you look at, say, Newcastle, and they've got Sinotti, Kibirigi, Ricky Gonover. When the opportunities come, they often score. When you look at Bristol, you think they've got Morahan when he's fit, they've got Piatow when he's fit.
Yeah.
You know, Luke Daniels is a really good player. You know, so it's they will score tries. And you look at Worcester and think, I'm not sure they quite got enough tries in them to stay up. That's what I thought. Bryce Heane was ridiculous again. I mean, he wasn't ridiculous. Not the best game I've seen him play, but still
pretty much
the best player in his team. But do you know what? It was unbelievable to watch Chris Robshaw live. And not at Twickenham, you know, so you're actually quite close to the action and all that.
Okay.
It's just relentless. And it's one of those things that if you're looking for standout moments, there was a turnover, there was a couple of good tackles there, but actually it wasn't that. He's the sort of player that if you watch a bit of rugby, but not all of it, you might say, well, what's the point in Eddie Jones picking him? He doesn't really do anything standout. If you watch that game, honestly, if you watch that game, you'd pick him for England.
Just a diesel, like, though, isn't he?
Mate, it was just relentless. In the end, you could see the Worcester boys, a couple of the Worcester players, what's chatting at each other? What's going on? And one of them, I think it might have even been Francois Howard, I can't remember, just gestured towards Robshaw and said, it's him. What are we supposed to do? He was just all over them the whole game. Like, he never slowed down. He looked exhausted after 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Like Mako Vunipola does, but never slowed down. Just unreal.
If he was a car or a vehicle, would he be like a Land Rover Defender?
No, he wouldn't. All no, right. Do you know what he'd be? He'd be, that's a bit too agricultural because he's got a bit more to him than that. He would be 2 litre Golf TDI.
No, he's not quick. He's not quick.
That's not a quick car.
A GTI?
Sorry, TDI, I said. Oh, turbo diesel.
Yes, I'm with you now.
Right, 2 litre, so you get a load of economy, enough performance to just about keep you interested. And it will go and go. And do you know what? It won't let you down. Go and buy a Ferrari if you want, but it don't like the rain, okay? You need to change its fan belt every 2 years. It will cost you 10 grand a year to run it. You're talking low maintenance, high output.
Okay, but it's German.
Jeezy was good.
But it's German.
Jeezy was good.
Bristol Bears, yeah. La Rochelle. So you were commentating. You were there.
Was there. Oh, I was there,
boy. Of
course
you were.
Piers O'Connor, the centre, played at fullback. He was really good. Really, really good. But he was in a team that was smashed to pieces. I mean, Bristol got completely bullied by La Rochelle.
Did you know Kevin Morgan's gone to Bristol?
Has he?
So Kevin Morgan is a former 15 for Wales, Swansea, the Dragons. And he was over in, I think he might still do the Georgian rugby team. He was at the Ospreys for a while, but now he's gone to Bristol with John Thomas, looking after him there.
That's nice.
JT rang me the other day and said, you never guess what, who's just turned up in a meeting? The Rat. He looks like a rat.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. That's the only reason.
So Bristol got beaten up up front. They just had way too much power.
Yeah.
La Rochelle, but it also Raze at the back, that the fullback just skinned them, just shredded them. They weren't ready for him at all. Martin Gillingham made a really good point in, I think it was a quip actually in commentary, but I think it was really a good point because he said it's almost like they've done all this, they'll have done loads of video analysis, Bristol, for La Rochelle, but it's almost like they didn't realise this guy was going to be playing because they couldn't deal with him at all. Mm. Raze, skinny little fullback. He just tore them to shreds. Absolutely.
It's like Colby, isn't it? You know, chuck someone like that in the mix who you don't know at all. It just makes you look silly.
What are you going to do? Yeah. What are you going to do? Here's one for you. Mm-hmm. Mike Ford has arrived at Leicester Tigers.
Yes. I thought that might have been an April Fool's joke, but you can't have them after 12 o'clock, so it's true.
No, he's arrived. George Shooter's reaction on, he's been pretty scathing of Tigers these last few weeks, a little while on Twitter.
Yeah.
George says what he thinks, he's great. And he was like, brilliant. They talked about scouring the world. He said, and the results of their scour the world coach tour, you know, scour world, whatever it is, scour the world search for a elite coach has led them to the bloke who's there every week in the stands, whose two sons play for the club, that sort of stuff. And Mike Ford has obviously been brought in to rescue Leicester Tigers because they're struggling in relegation terms, and it, you know, there will be a million opinions on this, and a lot of people will talk about character and personality and that sort of stuff. I think for me, my experience of his coaching is very limited. He coached me on one tour, and I must say I thought he was very, very good. But what I would say is I worked at Bath a bit when he was there and watched a lot when he was there, and what I would say is that I think it is possible for father-son, coach-player relationships to be okay. But it is much easier for them not to be okay. And I think what happens is, you know, you think about Wasps, it works quite nicely, but it's also quite handy that Thomas Young is the best player in the club. That's quite handy, but you get the impression he gets no special treatment. And for his first season or so, he barely got a game.
Yeah.
There were periods at, when George and Mike were at Bath together, that in my opinion, it's only my opinion, I know some people share it, but this is my opinion, is that there were times when George is a wonderful player, he's your first choice 10, but no matter how poorly he was performing, they wouldn't replace him. Mm. And it got to the point where it was embarrassing and the cameras would pan to the bench. And all right, they didn't have a, you know, sort of a rock star player on the bench, but they had someone, and George was underperforming because it happens to everyone. In that sort of second season as Bath 10 after a brilliant first season, and they just would not replace him, and it was just cringe. It was properly cringe from where I'm sitting as a rugby fan. And I also think that lads need to be able to chat openly in changing rooms. You need to be able to chat openly when you're sitting in the recovery bath and have a rant if you want, and have a, you know, have a gossip or have a bit of a sappuccino. And you can't do it if one of the lads sitting there, and especially now at Leicester, two of the lads are the sons of the coaches. So it can work. The Ackermans at Gloucester made it work. Di Young and Thomas Young made it work. In my experience, last time this combination came together, it didn't work. However, George is playing brilliantly well for Leicester, even though they're struggling. He's been excellent for them this season. And he was excellent again last week when they lost to Northampton. He was really good again, mostly. The team just isn't functioning. But I don't know. I think it's a desperate choice because anyone they might want is probably contracted elsewhere and they need someone now.
Well, yeah, who are you going to get in April?
Yeah, and that's not to say you've got to be desperate to hire Mike Ford. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they probably have.
But all
no
the good
options.
Coaches are going to be contracted.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, getting well paid by someone else who's not 10th in the league when they should be third or fourth. You know, so I do predict that it will have a bit of an impact.
Maybe.
I do predict that.
I want to know your opinion on one thing now. It's not related to rugby. So at the moment, over the weekend, the WGC match play golf, right, was being played in Austin in Texas. Okay. So normally in golf, you're playing stroke play, which means you just count all your shots. You know, there's no gimmies or anything like that. But in match play, you're playing against another golfer. Okay, so there's gimmies.
So there's gimmies, but it's hole by hole, so to speak.
Yeah, it's hole by hole. So, you know, you're two holes up. If you tie a hole, it just stays the same, you know, until you get to the 18th. And some people win on the 16th because they're already three holes ahead or two holes ahead. So what went on was a putt by Sergio Garcia. Now, he was playing Kuchner and Matt Kuchner. And Sergio had a putt around about 6 foot, I think, to win the hole. Anyway, he puts it and the ball goes an inch past the hole. So he misses the putt to win it. But then he walks up to the ball and he's obviously annoyed with himself. And he uses the back of his putter in a stab down motion to knock the ball in. But he sort of mishits it and the ball goes over the hole.
Oh no.
Yeah. So, you know, those are just automatic gimmies. Anybody could putt that. It's so close to the hole.
I'd get it, wouldn't I?
Mate, it's an inch.
Yeah.
It's easy. Like, that is just a natural gimme. But basically, you know, legally, I suppose, you have to look at the person you're playing to get the nod or for him to say, you can have it. But it's an inch putt for a professional golfer who's won a Masters, who's the record point scorer in Ryder Cup, right? So you're talking about one of the best golfers in the world. Now, Matt Kuchar has said, he's come out and said that, he says, I didn't know, he's not said anything, basically, to Sergio. So he says, Sergio, I didn't say anything. I'm not sure how this works because he's not given him the putt. And Sergio's missed, so Matt Kuchar's essentially won the hole.
Yeah.
When it should have been tied. So Matt Kuchar's gone to one of the referees and said, look, you know, I've not said anything. I've not said he could have that hole and he's missed the putt. And, you know, it's an inch away. Sergio's turned his putt head around the other way, slammed it down because he's really annoyed and it's not going. But it's just a natural gimme. So Kuchar's made a massive deal like this. And Sergio said, well, you know, you can forfeit a hole so we're even again. And Kuchar said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to concede a hole. So it's a massive hoo-ha at the moment. And basically, you know, it's the rules are the rules, but it's not the way golf should be played, as we've seen in cricket, where I think it was Josh Butler. I think it's Josh Butler was stumped out by the cricket. And, you know, it's things like, it's what's for the good of the game as well. You know, you help players look for lost balls. You know, it's the spirit of the game. And that's
but it's their job. Don't give them points. I'm happy to play by the rules and be a gentleman. I'm not giving you points.
But that is like an inch away. That's just, you know, in any other circumstance, that's just a simple, too easy putt. But it's match play.
You want my view, don't you?
Yeah.
Tough shit. Should have got it in the hole, mate.
No, I don't agree. I think that's just a lack of class.
What about the bowling thing?
I think laws are the laws, but in the spirit of the game, you have to let people know. You have to give them a warning first. That's the way it works. There are a lot of unwritten rules that go on in sport for the good of the game. And if people want to abuse that, then, you know, they're within their right, but they're not going to be liked. That's for sure. They're not going to be respected.
Not everybody wants to be everyone's best friend.
I'm
of the opinion that keep your cool and slot it and don't expect favours. And if you're given one, it's a bonus in elite sport.
I'm totally the other way. I just think that was showed a lack of class by Matt Kuchar. He just said, yeah, it's fine. I would have given you that.
By the way, I hope that I would do what Matt Kuchar didn't do, by the way. That's how I would do it. However, I look at guys that I really respect, guys like Martin Johnson or someone, and I think, would he have done it? Maybe. Or would he have said, don't care what you think, mate, I'm a winner. And he did some bad things. He smacked some people, he hurt some people, and he's one of the most respected athletes in English history. So I think,
especially with golf as well, which is a struggling game at the moment, because you know all of the sports are sort of redefining themselves, aren't they, by playing sort of shorter, faster, different types of games, whilst golf is still quite a slow game. And I suppose this match play is quite good fun because you're playing against the player rather than playing against the whole of the field, and you work your way
up
like that. So I don't think it's good for the game, and I think Matt Kuchar should give himself an uppercut. He's also a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago, I can't remember what it was, he hired a caddy that was a local caddy, and they've obviously agreed a fee, because normally your caddies takes 10, 15, 20% of your earnings no matter what, and most players have caddies that follow them around the world, the same caddies. But Kuchar's taken a local caddy, I can't remember where it was, someplace way out where, and they've agreed a £5,000 fee for this caddy to caddy Matt Kuchar. Matt Kuchar's only gone on to bloody win it, won something like 1.5
that was him, I've heard 1.5
million, and not given his caddy any more, just giving him £5,000 and said that's it, whilst most caddies be taking home 150 bags.
Yeah.
Plus.
I would like to think I would have upped his fee or her fee, whatever it was, significantly at that point.
Yep. Yep. So.
But.
There we are.
You signed the deal, mate.
Yeah. You know, it's legally he's right, but it's still.
It's not a good look. It's not a good look. I agree with that.
It's like diving, mate. It's like diving. It's not a good look.
Yeah.
In sport.
Yeah. But it's not cheating. That's different. Diving's cheating.
No, it's not. It's not cheap. But there are. Let's just agree there are unwritten rules that players
diving. Tyburn has pretended he's been hit. He's been hit harder than he's been hit there. That's a dishonesty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But actually, what the other guy's done is that actually this might not be very good form. But
it's terrible form, mate. It's not even
terrible form. But it's not the same. It's not the same as diving. Diving is cheating. We say it in football. Why can't we say it in rugby? It's cheating.
Okay.
All right.
Yep. All right, mate. All right. Well,
hey. All right, fella.
You'll have to look after me next week on the pod, okay?
You're going to be broken, aren't you?
I am. I might break down in tears. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
just don't show me any of those animal videos on your phone. Or
Rude Hullet's ones. Nightmare he is. Oh, rude. What's he like?
Or any army soldiers coming back to see their kids from...
Oh, yeah. Or the army guy that walks in and sees his Alsatian. After
yeah.
6 months
or the army guy who's... son's blindfold boxing and then realizes it's his dad when he takes off the blindfold.
Yeah, and he's knocked his dog out. No, yeah. Different thing. Anyway.
All right, mate.
All right, fella boy. Well done. Bye,
well
everyone.
Done, bye.
Bye.